This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Financial markets are down but orderly on this second business day after Brexit. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Here's some of the big shifts in money, with Britain now set to leave the European Union over the next 2 years or more. The British pound is down another 3% at $1.32. London's 100 share index is down 1.4%, which is like a typical cruddy day in Europe, not an extraordinary movement. Stock index futures in the U.S. are down in the 0.6% range. The 10-year Treasury yield in the U.S. is very low, 1.47%. In Britain, the finance minister, George Osborne, has stepped out to calm nerves. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is on the line from London. Stephen, what's the Chancellor of the Exchequer been trying to convey?
Well, don't panic has been his message. He's actually had to perform something of a somersault because before the referendum, Osborne was warning that a vote for Brexit would cause a cataclysm, he'd have to introduce an emergency budget, he'd have to hike taxes and make spending cuts. This morning, it was a different tune, calm and reassuring.
But no one should doubt our resolve to maintain the fiscal stability we have delivered for this country. And to companies large and small, I would say this. The British economy is fundamentally strong, we are highly competitive, and we are open for business.
All right, so he must be staring at a World War II poster that says, keep calm and carry on, Stephen.
It's probably done the trick a little bit. I mean, it soothed shattered nerves in the markets. I mean, they're down. The pound is certainly much lower. But it's been a relatively muted response. However, there's no doubt that there is huge political turmoil in the UK at the moment. I mean, the country is rudderless. We have a prime minister who says that he'll quit in the fall. So he's one of the walking dead at the moment. Not much of an opposition either, since the leader of the opposition could be toppled from his post any time soon. And there are threatening noises about the integrity of the whole country, threatening noises from the north, with Scotland, leaders in Scotland saying that they may call a referendum on independence. So it's hardly surprising that in this rather fevered and uncertain climate that businesses are not reassured. Simon Walker, the Institute of Directors, has just carried out a survey of 1,100 business leaders, and many are not happy about Brexit.
Business leaders are very, very concerned. Two-thirds of them think it's negative for their businesses. These are businesses of all shapes and sizes. Two-thirds think it's negative. 36% are planning to cut investment.
And it seems unlikely that full confidence to invest will return before we have a clear idea of what the new relationship will be between the UK and its largest export market, the European Union.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, David.
The reality sinking in of Britain's decision on Friday to leave the biggest common market in the world. One of the big questions is about the future of global trade. The UK will have to renegotiate fresh trade agreements with Brussels, and the Europeans are being cranky about this. This milestone comes as growth in all world trade has tapered off. That's been the theme of our coverage of the new expanded Panama Canal, which opened successfully this weekend. Some call it peak trade, and it might be a downward cycle, or it may be a new normal, as we've explored. Today, a key part of trade that is not slowing down, digital trade. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
So out here, you see a bunch of speakers, And then in here, which we like to call the toy room.
Adam Wexler walks into a storeroom filled with used and vintage stereo systems.
We have turntables, tube amplifiers, CD players.
Wexler uses eBay to sell these stereos around the world. About a third of his sales are international, lots of them to Asia.
They have a voracious appetite for collectible American hi-fi equipment.
Wexler operates out of an old brick warehouse on the water in a part of Brooklyn with a long history in shipping. There's still a container terminal nearby. But selling on eBay, Wexler ships one sale at a time through FedEx and the postal system. According to eBay, of its sellers in the U.S. with sales more than $10,000 a year, 97% of them export. It's a type of digitally facilitated trade.
Trade is no longer coming only in big boatloads and cargo container ships, but it's coming in individual packages going through the mail service. This is very difficult to track.
Susan Lund is a partner at McKinsey & Company. She says the other piece of this growing segment is trade of digital goods and services, downloading a book or a movie or making a phone call over Skype. It's also hard to measure, but in a recent study, McKinsey found cross-border bandwidth is 45 times larger than it was in 2005. It also says the flow of data and communications across borders is adding more to global GDP than trade in physical goods. You got that? Digital beats goods.
So countries around the world, including in the United States, are rethinking how can we start to keep track of these smaller bits of trade that add up to big numbers.
And big economic benefits.
So you don't have to travel to France for the, X meeting or the World Football Championship. You can watch it online. So that's an example of digital trade.
Susan Ariel Aronson is a research professor at George Washington University.
It's a good thing, right? Because it's encouraging growth in new areas. It's stimulating productivity. But it's also going to be incredibly challenging to traditional industries and for governments to regulate.
Take 3D printing, for example. Download a design file and anyone, anywhere, could be their own manufacturer. No cargo ships, no ports, no canals required. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
All of our Panama Canal last-ditch effort peak trade coverage is now at marketplace.org. And there's news much of New York's Waldorf Astoria Hotel will be converted into apartments. The hotel's new Chinese owner, Anbang, plans to take out 1,100 of the rooms, 1,400 total. According to the Wall Street Journal today, the rooms will become condos. This saves overhead if it's your apartment, not a hotel room. You make the beds, you clean them. Hundreds of the Waldorf Astoria's 1,500 workers could lose their jobs. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.